Well, how many are ready for Christmas already? I just want to let you know that my wife is not. There's a certain way, and it's like, wow, these presents. Wow, that's so cool. They're fake, yeah. And she was telling about how much fun it is to put like a rock in a really fancy package, you know, and let people choose which present they want, and have the really dull looking one be like, you know, $500 or something, you know. but here's what I've discovered in my experience of having a better half, is that my wife, part of her love language is the giving of gifts. And, you know, one is not enough. There's going to be a lot of things. And it might, you know, and it's wonderful. So that's why I say she's not done, because I don't see the pile of presents that I'm used to seeing under the tree yet. And it's not a bad thing at all. It's fun, you know. And it's nothing like Sunday or Christmas morning, you know, when the wrappers are laying all over the place. And my job is to go around with a bag and pick up all the paper, you know, and so that the kids can actually. And it's funny, and you can tell right away which presents they like, you know. It's funny, you get them something that's like really worth it, but, you know, they'll cast it aside and play in the box or something. You know, that's just, we're geared different ways. But there's I want to speak to the preparation of a gift today. And hopefully we can relate to this in such a way that it's gonna help us in our own relationship with God. Amen? So I just want to share a few personal examples, if you don't mind. I was tempted to use this girl's name. My dad moved to Eastern Colorado when I was 7. So I'm in second grade, okay? Mrs. Flatt was my second grade teacher. And that was back when you could still rap on kids' knuckles with a ruler. And Mrs. Flatt could do that pretty well. And so I'm sure it helped me in different ways. But so we lived a couple blocks from school. And I'm a second grader. And my mom lets me walk to school. Can you believe that? Will that happen today? No, probably not. Better not happen today, right? So I just got to go back there. My best friend's mother passed away. So I went home to a life celebration. There we go. Yeah, just this last year. And, man, I went around, took pictures of everything. Because I hadn't been there forever, you know. It's like all these things that seemed so big back then, you know, they're really small now. And it's like, oh, that's what. And on the way to school, I would go down this alley. And then I'd go down just a little ways to the corner. And then there was a vacant lot where we'd play baseball and all kinds of different stuff there on that vacant lot. And I could walk across and go to school just on the other side of that field. Well, one day I was walking down the alley. And I'm grateful for this. I've been fond for little girls ever since I was a little boy. I'm grateful for that. Anyway, there was this one little girl. There was this one little girl that, man, I was fancying her. And I'm walking down that alley, and I found a lady's watch laying on the ground. And I thought, Shazam. My way into her heart. And so I took that watch to her, and I gave it to her, and her mom made her give it back. So this is kind of funny, because I never saw her again after we graduated in 78 until just last year when we were at this memorial service. I saw her and the one responsible for her making her give that gift back to me, her mom. Anyway, it was kind of a precious time. You know, I hadn't seen her all this time. It was, and you know, she's got her own family and all that kind of stuff, and yay. But my point is, I gave her a gift, but I didn't have much to do with the preparation of getting that gift. You know what I mean? I found it on the ground, man. It's like, you know, it's like, yay. I didn't even have to go earn anything or do anything for it, you know. Okay, so that was one little example. Another one was, I thought back on this, and when I gave gifts growing up, we did. That's why I said it was a transformation for me coming into this better half situation, because we usually had like one or two presents under the tree, you know, and it's usually like socks or underwear or something like that. So I was very practical in my approach to giving gifts too. And so when I wanted to give my mom something, I'd go to the drugstore and, you know, I'd look for like a mixer or something like that. And I thought back on it later, they were probably amused at my gifts I got for my mom. Because, you know, I wasn't thinking about her. I guess I was. I was wanting her to be helped, you know. But it was always practical, you know. and so, but I didn't put a whole lot of thought into it. You know, I had a paper route, so I'd take, you know, 10 bucks down to the drugstore and, you know, I'd get my mom something. Anyway, so I get to high school, though. And my first nephew is coming in a few months. And I'm a senior in high school. And we have the coolest wood shop in high school. It's got all the different, you know, machines, a planer, you know, all these kind of things you can get your tie caught in and you're dead, you know. You know, the saws and everything. And I mean, and what they had there, which was neat, was they had raw wood. So it wasn't just a bunch of planks that you can just kind of nail together, you know. It was raw wood sitting back on these shelves, and you go get that, and you had to form it to the right depth and all these kinds of things. And so another Shazam moment. What am I going to do my senior year? Well, I'm going to make a cradle. And it's not just any cradle. Do we have any pictures of that thing? Oh, I should have got a picture. This is a cool cradle, isn't it? Buddy used this cradle. So my first nephew, I gave. So I'm preparing. I spent all my senior year working on this. And I'm telling you what, it. We'll get a picture for you sometime, because if you're not impressed with me now, see this cradle, and then you'll be impressed with me. So I made it out of red oak, and it was angled on the sides like this, and it had these little, I had to make little dowels around the top, you know, little peekaboo, they're not going to get up there and look through it, but, you know, it's a little rail around the top. And then it had on the sides, it had these raised panels on the side, you know? And I carefully made each one of those, their little plates that then they would sit in a groove, you know, on the sides. Are you following any of this? I don't know. I'm trying to explain it. But man, I had to make all that very carefully on a disc sander, you know, and make those raised sides on the, and then it was on a stand, and it was all wood. So I had like pegs. I had to make turn these pegs that would go through a hole on the side and hold the cradle up so it could swing on there. And it was on a, I'm telling you what, I prepared for this one. It wasn't any watch on the ground. And you know what? It's kind of been the gift that's kept on giving. My daughter used it on our latest grandchild. And my sisters used it. I don't know if my brother did. It's been, you know, tossed around or whatever. It's gotten broken and it's gotten fixed and all kinds of other stuff. But here's my point is it's a different gift, you know, than what I gave mom. It's a different gift than what, and I'm just telling you, in the day that we live right now, giving gifts is so stinking easy, isn't it? Right now, in front of you, I could order everything I need, you know, and it would be on the way. Aren't you grateful for Saint Amazon? You know, I mean, it doesn't take anything to have these gifts, does it? Not much thought. I mean, it might take some money, but, you know, that's where the thought comes, I guess. But there's not much given to it. And here's what I want to talk about with a gift. So, and this is the time of giving. But what is the purpose of this? It really is to express honor for somebody, isn't it? To with a gift also attach a thought. Is that right? Sometimes it says it's the thought that counts. That's what we say when we're not giving very much, right? But it really, there's supposed to be an expression of appreciation that goes with this. Is that right? And the degree to which you actually put thought into what that person actually wants determines the impact and the effect of that gift. Is that right? And you can also be dishonored if it's not cared for in that way. Okay. So, I want to look at gift giving from a God perspective, because we can do the same thing with God. You know, we just received an offering, and aren't you grateful for Buddy? Aren't you glad he's here? It's like, yay, Buddy's here. We can have church, you know. We can receive an offering, you know. Although, Derek did a great job last week, too. But you know what I'm saying? And giving is such a part of God. That's why Jesus came. Aren't you glad that there was some preparation that went into Jesus? Amen? He wasn't just an afterthought. Oh, I think I'll send my son. No. I mean, prophecies went ahead of him, right? It's like it's an extended value put into this gift that God gave us. And so when he gives us his nature, he doesn't just say, you can be however you want to be. Smack dab in the nature that we get in Christ as a child of God is we're a giver. And that's why this season really is what it is. It's not just because of Macy's Parade and, you know, all the miracle on, I'm going to get the wrong street, 34th Street. You know what I mean? It originated in the most priceless gift that was given. Amen? So, what he's built into this and what was established even, you know, even before Christ was this attitude. And here's and I want to look at two sides of this, okay? Because really, how many feel obligated to a certain degree? If you just, how many honest people do we have in here? Okay, so you don't have to lift your hand. You've already said you're honest, but if you want to go ahead and admit to this, sometimes there's a certain obligation to give certain people things, isn't there? What about like your boss or your, you know? There's a certain obligation that we have. And actually, in the law and in before Jesus, there was an expectancy put on somebody that you're obligated to do this. Right? And sacrifices had to be given. Is that right? So there was this obligation thing that did not have to have your heart. You were still expected to do it. Now, what was really cool is people like David went ahead and put his heart with that, you know, and it became effective. But, and even today, there can be a sense of obligation diminishes the worth of the gift. Can you see this? And what God wants us to do is for there to be, and we're going to talk about, it's going to be resources, it's going to be those things, but God has a much bigger expectancy of a prepared gift from us. We can say, well, God's got enough. He doesn't need anything from me. No. He created us for what we can bring to him. Amen? And he says, I love you so much, I'm not going to make you. You can do it out of your heart. Amen? Amen. Okay, so let's look here at Proverbs 3:9. So gift preparation, from obligation to passionate expression. So I went from the drugstore and the alley acquiring of gifts to the risking my life over the saws and the right. I mean, this is a deeply passionate gift that I gave. Gifts to the Lord are the best. And here, man, this is so good. They're the best they're given first, and they have a reward. Now, we're not doing it for the reward as much as we're doing it because we love. Is that right? But just from Proverbs, Solomon, we get this, okay? And this is a presentation. What's that? Huh? Did you find a picture? Aha! Which one is that? That's Liam. See, isn't that one? Now you really are impressed with me, aren't you? Let's shut that down real quick. There's no flesh that will glory in his presence. Okay. Which one? There's another one? See, look at those panels on the side. Isn't that cool? That's really neat. And I spent all my senior year working on that thing. Isn't that cool? And that's a much more long-lasting gift too, right? It's still there. But let's look at just these first few. That this is an expectation that it's put upon us, right? And it, Proverbs 3, 9, and 10. Honor the Lord. What's that saying? Put value on him by doing what? Giving. Is that right? Doing what? With your wealth. And with the best part of everything you produce. Does it say the last part? No, it says the best part. Oh, I got just a little bit left over. I think it'll be good enough. Then he will fill your barns with grain, and your vats will overflow with good wine. Aren't you glad there's a promise every time? That he's not just drawing us in to say, you do this, and I hope it destroys you. No, he says, come be a part of what I'm doing, and you cannot help but be blessed. Is that right? But if you see this, though, it's still talking about honoring him as an obligation almost. Can we kind of see that? Let's keep going. Okay, in 2 Samuel 24:24, man, this story is a real precious one. Remember, God directed David to go in on a threshing floor, present an offering unto God. Is that right? And this guy that has a threshing floor says, not only can you use the threshing floor, I'm going to give you the wood, I'm going to give you the animals, I'm going to give you everything. And Dave, this is David's response. But the king replied to whatever that name is, no, I insist on buying it, for I will not present burnt offerings to the Lord my God that have cost me nothing. I will not pick up a watch out of the alley and expect that to be adequate. Sometimes we can say, oh, praise God, I got a windfall. Now I can finally give unto God. You know what I mean? And praise God, he will bless the sower with seed to sow. But amen? It's going to come from a cost on our part. Can you see that? So David paid him 50 pieces of silver for the threshing floor and the oxen. Oh, this is a very precious thing. He said, I will not present something unto God that is not something that my flesh is going to be saying something about it. Amen? All right. Again, there's an obligation being put on here, though, isn't it? Right? Okay, let's keep going. Malachi, man, Malachi really gets... really gets affected. It's like somebody said one time, they were prophesying. They said, "Thus saith the Lord, I have written Michelob on the wall. My presence has departed from this place." If you know that, what was that word? Yeah, it's actually supposed to be Ichabod. I said, but. And thus saith the Lord, I made a mistake. That was supposed to be Ichabod. Anyway, I'm sorry. Malachi. All right. We need to have some fun, don't we? Okay. Gifts that are worthy of the king, they're not second-rate gifts. You know, and in the Old Testament, this was happening, wasn't it? They're saying, I'm just going to take kind of what I got left over. And man, this really hit me. You know, we've been going through Leviticus in our daily Bible reading, and it even talked about a lady that gave birth that, what was it, 33 days that she was supposed to be unclean. And that I'm thinking, sheesh, she's gone through enough. What's going on here? An offering had to be presented for her to be clean. And it's like, wow. So much obligation of, and what was that? That animal that was going to be given, it didn't say it was going to be given to her. It says, no, it's going to be coming. It's a value. So in all this sacrifices that are being made, it was value in people's lives. For me, especially a cat, I won't even mind, you know. We'll sacrifice all of, I'm sorry, we got some cat lovers here, okay. You know what I mean? There's certain, it's like certain creatures you can just say, oh, that's okay. Boy, I went in there, didn't I? Okay. We need to get serious, don't we? All right, let me just read this. Malachi 1:8 and 13 through 14. When you give blind animals a sacrifice, isn't that wrong? And isn't it wrong to offer animals that are crippled and diseased? Try giving gifts like that to your governor and see how pleased he is, says the Lord of Heaven's armies. So you say, it's too hard to serve the Lord, and you turn up your noses at my command, says the Lord. And again, these are commands, aren't they? They're obligations, says the Lord of the Heaven's armies. Think of it, animals that are stolen and crippled and sick and are being presented as offerings. Shall I accept from you such offerings as these, asks the Lord? Cursed is the cheat who promises to give a fine ram from his flock, but then sacrifices a defective one to the Lord. For I am a great king, says the Lord of Heaven's armies, and my name is feared among the nations. Man. So, we're talking about just sacrifices right now. But we're going to transition over into some other things here, okay? And we'll come back to this as a part of this. Amen? Okay, let's keep going. Intentional strategic gift is planning and prepared for. Okay, we'll go over it in the New Testament now. 1 Corinthians 16, 1 through 2. You see so much that gifts aren't just supposed to be something that we just... we come up with in the last moment. You know, there's a scripture that we like to stand on a lot of times when we don't want to give anything, is it purposes in your heart. He's not saying if there isn't any purpose in your heart right now because you got too much else going on. He said, no, that purpose should have been taking place a long time ago. Is that right? Okay. Intentional strategic gift planning preparation. 1 Corinthians 16, 1 through 2. Now, regarding your question about the money being collected for God's people in Jerusalem, you should follow the same procedure I gave to the churches in Galatia. Paul was strategic in his gift preparation. Is that right? And you think, well, this is just money being given to a church, and we're going to see something about that. God doesn't see it. When you're giving money to the ministry, it's not the ministry that you're giving it to. You're giving it to him because he's wanting to bless somebody, and he needs your obedience for that. On the first day of each week, you should put aside a portion of the money you have earned. Huh. This is preparation, isn't it? This is something you're not just thinking about at the last moment. It becomes a part of your life. You're saying, this is a daily part of my life. Preparing. On the first day of the week, you put aside a portion of the money you've earned. Don't wait until I get there and then try to collect it all at once. Ah, so he's talking about a preparation, isn't he? Let's keep going. The gift to Paul was received by God as a sweet-smelling sacrifice, well prepared. Now, make the connection on this real quick, because they were given to Paul. Is that right? The church was actually preparing a gift to Paul. But let's look at what it says about this. At the moment, I have all I need and more. How many? We were singing about Jireh, right? The God who's more than enough. Who does that make the biggest difference to? Somebody that's in need. Is that right? You know, when your bank's full and everything, it's like, you can sing that, but it means something when you're in need. Amen? And that Jireh, that God, how was he going to get that into your hands? How's he going to get that into your hands? Through somebody who is a giver. Amen? He's not just, you know, it says, I'll open up the windows of heaven and you'll pour out something you can't contain. Through how? You're not going to look up in heaven, all of a sudden there's a bunch of cash flowing down on you. Amen? It's going to be somebody that has learned to be obedient to the voice of the Lord. Is that right? So, and Paul was in this condition because of their giving, he says, I'm not lacking anything. I can praise the Lord. I can rejoice in that. I don't know if that's one of the points that I see in the giving is we give glory to God. For what? Somebody's obedience to give because they prepared a gift. Is that right? Okay, let's keep going here on this. I'm generously supplied with the gifts you sent me with Epaphroditus. They are, listen to this, they are a sweet-smelling sacrifice that is acceptable and pleasing to who? God. Huh. I thought you were giving to Paul. God smells it. Amen? And what did he call it too? He called it a sacrifice. It kind of goes back to what David said. It wasn't because you had just an overflowing abundance that you gave. It was because you gave it when maybe out of a lack even. Is that right? So you weren't waiting around for just an overabundance to do it. You were this is part of your life. You just give. And this is this is very precious to me that my father imparted to me that preparing a certain amount of what I get every time I get a paycheck, it's not mine. It's not mine to decide whether I no. It's part of my plan. It's part of my preparation that before anything happens, I'm going to take the first and the best. And it's going to be God's. Amen? Because he's making me, and this is what we're going to get to now. No. And this same God who takes care of me will do what? Supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. How do we receive them? Through this culture of giving. Amen? Amen? How many would like to receive something from God? How would many would like to be a part of somebody receiving something from God? Amen? Which is better? The second is actually better, isn't it? Amen? And what does he say about this? Man, you get in this process. This starts becoming your daily preparation. How many took a bath today? How many brush your teeth all the time? Why? Because you're preparing to keep your teeth. You're preparing for people to actually let you come into their realm a little bit, right? It's like I had a doctor's appointment this last week, and it's like I had to get there early, and I don't think I brushed my teeth or something, you know? And it's like I'm having this nice conversation with this lady, like, give me a break, okay. We all fail to brush our teeth at some time, right? But we were okay while she's over there listening to what I have to say and she's typing on the computer. But, you know, she came and got my space. It's like, you think you really want to do this? You know what I'm saying? Okay. All right. What was I going on then? Okay. That was just a real quick comment that I actually thought about before that I thought I would share. And I'll just put it in right now since I'm thrashing about anyway. This is something that I've learned with regard to my wife. Man, I like to kiss her. I like to hug her. And what I found out is she has a nose on her. And if I want to get any of those goodies, I'm going to have to prepare myself. It's like, she's giving me a break. She doesn't like my glasses. She thinks I look like my dad. And it creeps her out. And I go to give her a kiss. If I got my glasses on, I'm not prepared. And if my breath stinks, I'm in her space and it's not where I can be because I haven't prepared myself. This is a good example. Just let me keep going here. Is this good? Is this right? Okay. All right, am I in deep water? you know what? I'm going to brush my teeth and I'm going to take my glasses off. And okay, all right. There is some correlation here, though, okay? Be with me on this. Amen? All right. No, just if, while you're thinking about me, think back about that cradle. All right. What about the heart, though? Because we've seen this is something that's put upon us. Is that right? There's just an expectancy. You got to do this. You got to plan. You got to prepare. We see that there's some rewarded with regard to this. Amen? But God's not just concerned about our finances. He's not just concerned about those things. You can't ignore them. They will be smack dab in the middle of anything else you do. But the biggest thing that's taken place in our financial giving is a representation of what? Our heart. And the thought counts with God. Amen? The heart counts. So what about the heart? It needs preparation, doesn't it? The ultimate gift to God. You know why there's a need to be faithful in giving? It's because it's an outward demonstration to Him where our heart is. Amen? Now, just another point, okay? I'm leaving my wife out of this one, okay? So you won't get to laugh as much, but it'll be good. So with regard to this financial stuff, is sometimes what we can think is that we don't have to actually go anywhere else because we've taken care of the God thing by some financial gift that we've given. I know this might not be you, but it's a potential. We can do this in relationships too. We don't have to spend time with our kids. We're just going to give them stuff. Right? I don't have to treat my wife. I'm just going to buy her a new car. Is anybody seeing the correlation here? Because you can get on the wrong side of that too, where, oh, I'm a giver. I'm giving. But God says, you know what? It's not just your giving that I want. I want your heart. Amen? Romans 12:1. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give what? Your bodies to God. Because of all He has done for you, let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind He will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship Him. So I know it doesn't say heart here, but what's happening when you give your body? He's having your heart. Amen? It's a living sacrifice. What is that? What my body has to say about this situation is less than my value for you. Amen? Okay, keep going. Preparation of obedience. So what do we give our bodies initially, right? But he said, I don't just want you to give me your body that's not doing anything. Preparation of obedience, 1 Samuel 15, 22. And remember what happened with King Saul, is that right? And he'd been told to go off and completely annihilate this king and all his people and all his animals. Is that right? But King Saul had another idea about this. He said, you know what? I can pacify God and still arise politically by letting people see me being spiritual. I can offer the sacrifices. Is that right? And what's happening? God has a directive for our life. He has something that He's asking of us to do. And you say, I'm just going to give you something and I'm going to get off the hook. And then I don't have to go and do what you've told me to do. Is that right? But Samuel replied, so the king is saying, but I'm going to sacrifice these things. I'm still going to do what you told me, but I'm just going to do it in another way. Sacrificing is going to take care of my disobedience. Our gifts can't take care of our disobedience because it's not the gift that God wants. He wants the heart. Amen? What is more pleasing to the Lord, your burnt offerings and sacrifices or your obedience to his voice? Listen, obedience is better than sacrifice, and submission is better than offering the fat of rams. Oh, so it's so much more than just details. You have to do this. Aren't you grateful for this? Actually, there's liberation in this. I don't have to get into bondage to give. Amen? Amen? In fact, I'm going to go to God with my heart. And I'm going to say, God, not only do you have everything I have, but you have my heart. Amen? And you know what? He can do way more with all that stuff in your hand if he has your heart. And it will turn into a volume that you cannot contain because you've given him your heart. What does that look like? A wonderful worship time where we just, Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I worship you alone. Now I can go do what I want to do. That's not giving him your heart, is it? I mean, it's a nice token. But what happens is when you leave the service, the encounter, amen? And you're walking in your walk. And now either it's real to you and you act like he's real in your life and he has your heart and you choose to give when you need to give and you choose to love when you need to. Did you know why we're told, commanded to love? Because our flesh does not want to. Who are we supposed to love? Jesus said, you know, if you just love those that are good to you, you haven't done anything. You're supposed to love your enemies. Is that right? Man. I won't go there. I was going to get into politics. But we have reason. We're supposed to love everybody, aren't we? That's not an option. So if what you're giving to God doesn't have preparation in a heart of love, he says, I don't even want it. Now, you can go ahead and give. No, I'm just kidding. But when it comes to God, God's not as concerned about what's in your hand as what's in your heart. Amen? He knows that if he can get your heart, everything in your hand will be effective for his glory. Amen? All right, I already hit obedience, didn't I? Are y'all recovered from that yet? Okay. Preparation of brokenness. Are you ready for this one? So what does God really care about in our gift to him? Aren't you glad for the New Testament? Aren't you glad for where we can go in this? Amen? It's not just an obligation. It's not just something that's imposed upon us, that we're not going to be blessed. We're going to be cursed if we don't. No, it's an opportunity to get involved with a big God thing. Yeah. Amen? But it requires this, and this is out of the Old Testament. And David had the clue on this. Psalm 51, you do not desire a sacrifice, or I would offer one. You do not want a burnt offering. The sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit. You will not reject a broken and repentant heart, O God. What's he in the middle of right now? And it kind of goes to what I was talking about earlier. He's in the middle of condemnation that should destroy him. That according to the law, there's not a sacrifice that can be offered. Is that right? He should be excommunicated. Is that right? But what does he know about God? He knows that there's a heart thing with God that God likes. Yeah. Amen? He didn't just start to scramble and get a whole bunch of animals to sacrifice. He said, there's one thing I know about you, God. You want my heart. So I'm coming before you right now and saying, create in me a clean heart. Make me right. And this is what we have in the blood of Jesus. But I'm telling you what, there's a place for us. in the presentation of our lives before God, in this giving thing before Him, that requires the application of the cleansing. He's even more sensitive than my wife. Amen? He's a holy God. You know, we think we can just come in and just be however we want before Him. And you know, He loves us the way we are, but He can't stand the stench of sin. That's why He provided the blood of Jesus to cleanse us from it. Amen? And if we want to come in and offer Him and offer, even in worship, I just want to encourage us. There's a clue in this. We can get way more out of our coming together times when we come prepared. Amen? When we don't just come and say, I'm just going to see what they have today. I hope God does something for me today. Do you know what? That's coming with a sick animal. I don't want to come against anybody because we are in need when we come sometimes. But I'm telling you what, there's a provision that we've been given. If I'm going to get on the ministry side of God, I'm going to have to begin to apply the blood of God to my life on a daily basis. That's preparing my heart so that when I come to behold Him, when I come to honor Him, I'm coming with a gift that's been prepared. Can you see that? How necessary this is. How many like to praise? Man, we got to sing that song last week about praise. We did that last week, right? I get weeks confused. But, man, I love to praise God. But, you know, praising isn't fixing anything in itself. And we can say, this is how I'm going to battle. I'm just going to praise. Praise is not anything if it's not coming from a preparation in a heart that's actually been made right with God. Amen? I'm going to fix everything. I'm going to stay where I'm at. I'm going to keep living the way I'm living. But I'm just going to praise, and it's going to fix everything. Praise doesn't fix stuff. Praise is an expression of a heart that's been fixed. Amen? The gift of praise is prepared from a generous heart through faith lips. Look at this. Therefore, let us offer through Jesus a continual... Is this just an interruption of praise that's fixing things? It's a sacrifice, isn't it? That's an offering. It's costing us something, is that right? One of the greatest praises is when you're going through something. Man, I've been encouraged in this lately. If you have any spirit of heaviness, get into the name of Jesus by praising Him, who he's been, what He's doing right now, what He's going to do. Amen? And is it changing Him? No, it's preparing your heart. There's power in praise to prepare your heart if you're submitting to the work of the blood. Amen? It's changing your perspective on things. Let us offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise to God. Doing what? Proclaiming our allegiance to His name. We're saying, I'm going to be aligned with the fame of my God. Amen? He's the one that parts the seas. He's the one that heals blind eyes. I'm telling you, just those two statements in the middle of whatever you're going through will change your perspective from what I'm going through to what God can do and what He will do. Amen? And the power in that, now, if you're saying that and you keep looking at the problem, your heart's not getting fixed. But if in your declaration, your heart is lifted up, He's the glory and the lifter of our heads. Amen? All right. And this is where, okay, praise God. So there's another aspect to this real quick. That the preparation of the heart, what is the greatest thing that we've received in the gift of Jesus? It's the forgiveness of sins, isn't it? How many are worthy to be in the presence of God? You know what? We are because of the blood of Jesus, but that's the only reason. It's not because of our righteousness. Is that right? There's only one reason. Our faith is built upon a forgiveness that we do not deserve. That's a gift, isn't it? That's worth more than everything else that we could ever want. Is that right? If our faith is built upon a gift of forgiveness, we have nothing to give to God if we're holding unforgiveness. Amen? It's not a heart that's ready for giving to God. We can't give to God an offering, a sacrifice, even a praise, if we're holding on to unforgiveness. It's like saying, I believe in God's forgiveness for me, but I don't believe in it for somebody else. You've just said that you don't believe in forgiveness at all. You've dislocated yourself from your own forgiveness. And this is what happens when you hold on to unforgiveness. You take on unforgiveness. You can't even forgive yourself because it's a spirit of unforgiveness. Amen? One of the greatest preparations in a gift unto God is going to be reconciliation. Matthew 5:23. So if you're presenting a sacrifice at the altar in the temple, where is this? This is in the New Testament, isn't it? I know this is Jesus talking here, but and you suddenly remember that someone is something against you, what are you supposed to do? Leave your sacrifice there at the altar and go and be reconciled to that person. Then come and offer your sacrifice to God. This is a principle that we've been given in Christ. Aren't you grateful for this? We don't have to run to the temple now. We don't have to sacrifice an animal. But forgiveness is not an option. It's a requirement. If there's going to be a heart that's worshiping unto God, that's offering up a sacrifice of worship, it will come because it's been prepared. Man, I want to encourage us in this. There's a lifestyle of preparation of a gift. Not just a conforming to an obligation. Not just trying to become something that we've been exposed to that makes us feel like we have to do something. That's not even love. What we've been given is this great opportunity. Amen? To give him our hearts. And to say, God, show me how to prepare this heart. And this is the wonderful thing that I found in my... My relationship with my wife is she's trained me to present myself well. Now, this is not supposed to be funny right now, so don't laugh, okay? But God, if we let him, will train us to be presentable before him. He's not going to say, you can just be however you want to be. He's going to say, I'm going to show you how to have some nice breath. And what smells really good to me is sacrifice. Amen? Where the flesh is not ruling you, your passion for me is. Amen? So, John 4:23. And I believe this is what he's speaking to with this. Beyond the spirit and sounds. Because how many were in the spirit of praise and worship here today? It's a wonderful time. Here's what I believe Jesus is speaking to. This is my interpretation of this, okay? But the time is coming. Indeed, it's here now when true worshipers will worship the Father, not just in spirit, not just when the Spirit's feeling like it, but in truth. This is where you are actually living the preparation of worship. It's becoming a part of your life continually. Amen? That way, when you come before the Father, you're not having to try to fix a bunch of stuff. You've been living in his presence. You've been acknowledging him in all your ways. And he's been guiding you into a way that is his way. And you've been submitting to that. You've been obedient to it. Praise God. He said, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. That means they're not just going to be living a lie. Anybody can come in and sing praises to God. It's the ones that walk out the door and live like it's the truth. That have a heart that's prepared for worship that you cannot prepare for any other way. Financial giving will not do it. In itself. Praising won't do it in itself. No, living in obedience will do it. Praise God. I want to encourage us in this because I really see there's a growth in our church body even right now. How many sense that? Praise God. Are we encouraged in this? I believe this is essential for this. that we see the necessity of when we're coming together, we're coming prepared. I don't just come in here and just throw up something to God. I'm prepared. Amen? I have enough consideration for His holiness that I'm going to live in holiness. Amen? Not out of obligation or what something's going to happen to me if I don't know, because I love Him. Praise God. For God is a spirit, and so those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit that affects all the rest of your life. And that's the reality of a gift of worship unto God that's been prepared in a lifestyle of loving God. Amen?